you know, they turned away at the most opportune time. Right when I was opening my mouth, they just like got distracted. Squirrel! But thank you guys. Appreciate that so very much. I'm Pastor Jake, and welcome to the Ark. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're a guest, would you, family, would you just welcome them with a huge round of applause? Man, so glad that you're here with us. We've been praying for you, and God's got great things in store for you. I'm about to share for just a few moments about God's divine plan for abundance in your life. Before I do that, we have actually a very serious need in this body, and it's not for finances. It is for somebody's life. And so today, would you please join your hearts, your faith? If you're not yet a part of the family of God and you're not used to the praying thing, that's okay. If you just take a moment of silence as we pray, that would be totally okay. But we just want to pray for someone in our family. Here at this church, you guys might know Brother Dennis Josiah. His wife is in a fight for her life at this very moment, and currently in the hospital. I'm not going to go into details, but I believe that prayer works. And we're going to pray for Dennis, for him to have strength, for him to have peace, for the wisdom and the strength of God to be on him, as well as for the wisdom of God to be on the doctors and the medical staff. But beyond that, his wife may be in the situation where all that's going to work is a miracle. And we're going to believe God for a miracle. Amen. If you're willing to believe God for a miracle with us, I hope that you'll extend your faith in that direction towards Dennis, towards his wife Joyce, and as we just come before the Lord in prayer. You know, the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help and to find mercy in time of need, and that's exactly what we need. So would you pray with us? I'm just going to pray out. You can agree with us. Lord God, we know that you are a God of miracles. The Bible says that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe, God, that you are the God that brought the dead to life. I believe that you're the God that healed the sick. I believe, Lord God, that you are the God that sees and you are the God who provides. So, Father, today we cry out for mercy. We come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy, to get help in time of need. Lord God, we stand and we ask you on behalf of Dennis and on behalf of Joyce for a miracle. God, we ask you for mercy over that household. Lord God, we pray that you would give wisdom to the doctors, wisdom to the medical staff. God, let them see the things that they would not otherwise see. Direct their hands. God, we believe that you will even use medicine in the way to be able to bring healing and to bring restoration. But the things that are beyond medical practice, the things that are beyond the capabilities of modern medicine, God, we believe for a miracle in that case. Lord God, we pray for Dennis right now that you would give him peace in his heart. You said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, even in the midst of a tough time, we pray that the joy of the Lord would come in and would enter into his heart, would enter into that room. And, Lord, that we would pray that peace would come over them right now in Jesus' name. Let him have supernatural rest. Let him have supernatural wisdom, Lord God. Let him have peace in his heart. And, Father, we ask for Joyce that anything that's been damaged, that it would be undamaged in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're a God of not just healing, but you're a God of restoration. And we ask you, Lord God, to do that on behalf of Dennis and Joyce. Lord, we thank you for it. We're not going to forget to continue to pray. And we thank you, God, that you are a good God, that no matter what, you are good. And we thank you for being a good God in our lives and in the lives of Dennis and Joyce and the family around them. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. As often as Brother Dennis and Joyce come to your hearts, would you please just take a moment, take a few moments, take an hour, take all day, take what, however much time God impresses on your heart to pray for them? And would you pray for them the way that you would want somebody praying for you if you were in a fight for your life? I believe that that's what it's all about. You know, today, just a quick blurb, and I don't mean to turn this into an advertisement. I just want to say how impressed I was that today we're having signups for our Connect groups, and all that it's about is about you connecting with deep, personal, meaningful, authentic relationships with the people around you. Do you know when I showed up to the hospital last night with Pastor Stewart, last night when I showed up, before I was even there, his Connect group was there. His family's Connect group was there. Isn't that amazing? Before I got there, I didn't even know what was going on. I got the word, and I wasn't prepared to leave the house, but I got prepared to leave the house, and I went right down there. But before I even got there, the Connect group was there. Amen. They were there with food. I mean, it wasn't vegetables, but it was food. And they were there to pray, and they were there to support Dennis, and they were there to love on him before his pastor even got there. And I'm not looking to shirk responsibility, but I think that's pretty awesome that the people around us would drive all the way from, what is it, Ka'ava, Haula, would drive all the way from Haula all the way down to Queens just to be there before I even knew that anything was going on. And I don't know about you. I do kind of know about you. But I want to tell you that you need meaningful relationships more than you think that you do. You need people praying for you when you don't even know that you need people praying for you. And I believe that the way to do that is through deep, meaningful relationships. And I hope that you will get connected to a Connect group so that you can have people in that way, knowing your situation, praying for you before your pastor even shows up. Not that I'm trying to take my time, but you know it's important to have other people praying for you. I am not the well of prayer, you know? Have other people praying for you. We need other people around us. Can you say amen to that? Thank you for praying. And I just want to encourage you. Please don't everybody reach out to Dennis. I mean, it's important that people reach out to him. But, you know, sometimes if you have 200 people calling you or texting you, it can actually be a little bit overwhelming. And so Adam and Erlene, Adam is Dennis's brother, Adam and Erlene have volunteered to kind of be the point people to be able to communicate with Dennis. And so if there's anything, if you have questions like, can we provide a meal? Can we bring something? Would it be okay for us to come and to pray or to just be there or whatever? Would you please direct all of your questions over to Adam and Erlene? And if they need some help, I'm happy to help directing as well. We just don't want to overwhelm Dennis at this particular time. Are you guys okay with doing that? So Adam and Erlene, would you guys just stand up just so everybody knows who you are right there? That's Adam and Erlene. And so keep them in prayer too, as they're going to be helping out with Dennis and with the family as well. All right. Thank you guys so much. You guys are amazing. And if the Lord leads you to provide a meal, something like that, you know, don't despise what God will do. Be obedient to God and provide something should the Lord lead you to do that. Thank you for tolerating and being with us as we share these things. It's important. It's more important in some ways than what I'm about to preach to you, but this is important too. So you guys ready? I want to talk to you about the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are amazing. And if you didn't think about the windows of heaven, now, you might not know this, but Pastor Jolie and I are in a major remodeling project right now. And we have our house that has windows that are more like holes in the wall than they are windows. And they needed to be replaced. But you know, windows can make all the difference in the world. The inside is wonderful. It looks great. And the windows are falling apart. Don't worry, we've got windows on the way. So don't feel like you need to buy us windows or anything. Windows are on their way in Jesus' name. But you know, the windows of heaven are important. I want to talk to you today about the tithe. Now, the whole purpose of what I'm about to share with you and the reason why we take these few minutes to share about biblical finances is simply this. We want to teach you. We're not here to manipulate you, to twist your arm, to make you do something that God doesn't want you to do. We want to teach you because the Bible says that when the Word of God comes, that faith comes to our heart. Now, that's important because the Bible says that anything that's not of faith is sin. There's no sense in giving your money away and sinning at the same time. That's a bad combination because then you're poor and sinning. That's not the way to do it. But when you give in faith, what happens is that God changes the very atmosphere and the very potential of your life. So I'm here to teach you for just a few moments. Now, for those of you that already are those that return the tithe to God, you might not even know what tithe is. Don't worry, I'll fill you in just a moment. For those of you that return the tithe already to God, I want you to receive this word as something that's going to build your faith. How many of you could use more faith? I hope that every hand in here got raised on that one. If you're one of those people that you haven't even heard about the tithe, you don't even know what that is, or maybe you haven't stepped over into the realm where you're giving and returning your tithe back to the Lord yet, I hope that what this message will do for you is that it will encourage you, that it will give you faith so that you can take that step, because on the other side of that step of obedience, I guarantee you, is a bunch of blessing for you. So I want to talk to you about this stuff today, not because it's my favorite subject, although it is a pretty high up there on the ranks of my favorite subjects, but because God wants to get blessing over to you, and I believe that there is a major blessing in your future. All right, we're going to get right into this. First of all, you need to know what the meaning of a word is. That word tithe, maybe you've heard it before, and maybe you thought that it's just like something you stick into a silver platter that gets passed around. Actually, the word tithe means one-tenth. I think we have that slide. Yeah, there you go. Tithe is actually a noun. It's not a verb. So it's not an action verb. You don't tithe. You return the tithe. So it is a noun, and it literally means one-tenth. One-tenth of what? The Bible will tell you that it's one-tenth of all of your increase. Now, I want to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture real quick. Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 to 33, part A, in the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible is right up there on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bible. It says this, every tenth, say every tenth. How many tenths are there? There are 10 tenths. For you math geniuses out there, there are 10 tenths. So every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to who? The Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man decides to redeem any part of this tenth, that means to take it, to keep it, to use it, he must add a fifth part to its value. That means you got to add 20% interest. Don't borrow from God. It is a very bad loan. We can go through that another time. Verse 32. Every tenth animal from the herd or the flock which passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. So real quick, they would have a shoot and a stick, a shepherd's rod that would go across that chute. And all the sheep would pass under that rod. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the Lord's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the Lord's. That's how the tenth would be determined. Verse 33, he is not to inspect whether it's good or bad, and he is not to make a substitution for it. So it didn't matter if it was the sheep that was not very smart. It didn't matter if it was the ugliest sheep. It didn't matter if the sheep only had 3 legs. It didn't matter if a wolf chewed off its tail. If it was the tenth one, it belonged to the Lord, and it was holy to the Lord. I want you to look over at Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10 through 12. Now, remember, if you already know this scripture, you know it by heart, don't tune it out. You got to listen to it fresh. You're going to get something, and it's going to build your faith. Here it is. Malachi 3, 10 through 12. It says this in the English Standard Version of the Bible. Bring the full tithe. Okay, so full tithe, that means 100% of one-tenth. Bring it all. Don't just bring $20 of it or $5 of it. Bring the entire tenth into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Can I just pause real quick? If you've been one of those people that you've been tithing like $20 or $5 or whatever, returning that to the Lord, that's great. I'm so glad that you're doing that. I just want to encourage you that that is not actually giving the full tithe. If you make more than $200, $20 is not your tithe. And so I want to encourage you, return the full tithe to the Lord. Otherwise, this thing doesn't work. You got to be in it to win it. You got to get the whole thing going on, all right? And thereby put me to the test. So in other words, God is saying, when you return the full tithe, one-tenth of all of your increase to the Lord, you're putting him to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. How many of you have a need in your life? Until there's no more need. Until there's no more need. That's how much God's going to keep pouring out when you put him to the test. Verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. Your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. I don't have time to go into all of this, but basically what this scripture means is that when we honor God by returning one-tenth of all of our increase, that God will make sure that we are going to be blessed. Yep. Amen. That's just the way that it works. He rebukes the devourer so that our businesses work right, so that our relationships work right, so that everything that we're sowing into the ground and the work of our hands actually is fruitful. Now listen, this is going to get you. Your tithe, the tithe, is actually your signature on a contract with God. That's what it is. It is the covenant or the contract of God's provision for you. So unless you sign it completely, like this is not one of those initial here, X here, and then you just move on with your life with insurance on your rental car. That's not how this thing works. It's a full, wet signature on the line of the contract of God's provision for your life. See, if we don't put our signature on the line, the contract is still available, but we just don't enter into the contract with God. That's how we do it, is by returning the tithe, the full tithe, to God. Do you know that windows in Bible days were not like windows like what you see on the side here with louvers or anything like that? They weren't vinyl sliding windows. Windows in Bible times were just like this. They were either open or they were shut. They had shutters. So when the windows of heaven are closed, there's no leakage coming through. So if you've been doing all right and you haven't been returning the tithe, imagine if the windows were open. Imagine what would happen if you just entered into the contract of provision for God and the windows were open. I would rather have open windows than shut windows. They had shutters, not louvers. I want to encourage you today that when you enter into this contract with God of saying, I'm going to return my tithe. Now, can I just talk really super practically? I know that some people are going to think, I can't do it. It's not possible for me to do it. I can't return. I cannot give up another 10%. The IRS already takes 40%. Why are you giving the IRS more than you're giving to the Lord? The Lord wants 10%. I think the IRS should settle for 10% or less. They're not God. Don't do that, by the way. You'll probably end up going to jail. But God's only asking for 10%. But listen, if you think that you can't do it, I want to tell you that what would happen if when you started to return your tithe to the Lord, that your appliances stopped breaking and that your car stopped breaking down? Because I know that every time that your air conditioning breaks in your vehicle, that's $2,500 right there. Don't ask me how I know. What would happen if your roof didn't wear out? I know that would put David out of business, but that's not going to happen. There's lots of people that don't tithe, so he's going to have business for a long time. But what if your roof never wore out? What would happen if your clothes stayed good? I know, ladies, that's a horrible thought. What if you never had to replace your clothes? I know that's a horrible thought. But imagine if all those things just continued to last. Imagine if you didn't have to buy medication for sickness and disease. That ain't cheap, by the way. I keep thinking about canceling my medical insurance because I just don't ever get sick. I don't need to go to the doctors. You know what I mean? I'm in perfect health. That is part of the blessing of God. If you don't have to spend money on your pharmacy needs, if you don't have to spend money on your car breaking, if you don't have to spend money, do you think that God could possibly make up the difference of the 10% that you return back to him? See, but you won't know that until you put him to the test, will you? And that's what the whole process of the tithe is about. That if you've not entered into that place where you've hopped full speed into the deep end of the pool and started to return your tithe to God, it is so important that you do. Why? Because when you do, you sign on that dotted line that says, I'm entering into a contract with God that I will return the full tenth of my income and God will watch over the rest. I want to encourage you today that if you've never even gotten to that place of returning your tithe to the Lord, put him to the test. Allow God to open the windows so that they're completely open and not completely shut on your life. I encourage you to do that and see if God will move in your life. Today here at the Ark, we've got three very easy ways that you can give. Today we've been talking about the tithe, but you can give your offering as well. We've got three easy ways that you can give. You can give online on our website. You can go right to our app. You can click on the giving link there, or you can text the Ark CC to 77977, and you can give electronically that way, or right in the seat back in front of you, there should be an envelope there where you can go ahead and you can write things down in the old-fashioned way, and you can return what it is that you'd like to do to the Lord. By the way, your offering, that seed that you're sowing to the Lord, that goes beyond the tithe. It's not a reallocation of finances. Return the full tenth to the Lord first. Then you can give an offering beside that if you'd like to do that. In this house, we believe that the Bible says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. So Max is going to just put some baskets out here. And when you're ready, you can go ahead and give. You can bring your envelope. If you've given by PushPay or electronically, we suggest that you do this. Would you just walk on up and present yourself before the Lord? Because really, God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. And that's exactly what you can do, is you can just stand there and just say, God, I'm yours. And you can just walk away after that. Guests, if you're here in this house, please don't feel compelled to give, but you're more than welcome to. As we go around and we give our tithes and our offerings, some people might come around to you if you're a guest here, and they may give you a high five, a handshake, a kind word. They might even put money in your hand. And if they do that, they're not paying you to leave. They're just imparting their treasure to you. The Bible says wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be also. And we want our treasure, we want our heart to be with you. So would you please just receive it? Don't put it in the offering unless you really feel like God wants you to do that. Otherwise, that's for you to be blessed. All right, we're going to put on some music, and then we're going to have you come on up and give out your blessing, your tithe, your offerings to the Lord and greet the guests. You guys ready? Guys, hit some music. And you guys are so awesome. Keep on giving out them hugs and all that stuff. We're going to bless the tithes and those offerings. Hey, listen, if today was your first time ever hopping into the deep end of the pool and giving the Lord your full tithe, returning that back to Him, I want you to know right now as we're praying, I'm believing with you, and I've got that in my heart right now for you, that as we pray, that I'm asking God to come through in this test. How many of you know that God has never failed a test? I have failed tests, but the Lord has never failed a test. Amen. Would you just stretch your hands, if you will, your faith towards the offering and towards the tithe? Lord God, we thank you for your word. That's true. Sometimes we don't understand why you do the things that you do, but we know that whatever you do, it's right. So God, we want to be obedient to you, and we want to return our tithe to you. And we also ask you, Lord, that the seed that's been sown today, that you would bless it. Those that have hopped into the deep end of the pool by giving their tithe, their full tithe, for the first time, Lord, I pray that you would come through and open the windows of heaven, that it's not shut up anymore, but let the blessing of heaven begin to rain down on them. Let there be more than enough. Let there be increase. Lord God, let the things not break in their house. Let their cars not break. Lord, let their clothes not wear out. Lord, I pray that you would just cause them to have good health in their bodies, that there would be nothing that devours in their life, but that you would restore. Father, we thank you for that. We bless the tithes, the offering, the gift, as well as the giver, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Would you please go ahead and have your seats? We're going to just give out a couple of gifts. In this church, we believe that God speaks to people. And sometimes God speaks to people that they ought to give in an unusual way. And so sometimes people just give offerings give an envelope in the offering that they want to give to somebody. And so this one looks like it's for Kumuhula Sarah Kahele. Would you just come and receive this? And as Sarah comes up, Sarah just wants to say,
thank you.
So say you're welcome.
Sorry, there's another envelope up here, and it's to Pastor Jake and Jolie, so I thought it was kind of weird that Pastor Jake would give it to himself, so I'm going to announce it. So Pastor Jake and Jolie, somebody in this congregation gave you folks a gift, and they would like to say,
she meant to yell into the microphone on my face, but it wasn't on, so it just looked really weird. I hope you guys are all right with us being kind of like family like that in here. By the way, we're going to turn the kids' teachers loose to meet their students on this side. Kids, give them a head start. You're faster than they are. I've seen my sister run. That was a dirty look right there. I forgive you. Kids, go ahead and meet your kids' class teachers on the side here. Thank you, parent helpers. Thank you, those of you that are serving in the kids' ministry. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, protect them, watch over them. Let the seed of the word of God fall on good soil, and let their hearts, let their lives never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I believe in a superior generation being raised up. Kids that go against the tide of culture and everything. But the only way to do that, run, Juju, run. The only way to do that is by getting the word of God into them more than the world gets into them. And I think that's so important that we do that. I'm going to have a short message for you today, as today is Sign Up Sunday for our Connect groups. Man, I'm so stoked to see all of you get connected to amazing people, because we don't have anybody that is not an amazing person in this church. We have incredible people in this church, and I think that you'll be blessed to be connected to them. But before I minister to you, I actually, we want to invite some people to come up and to just share their testimony with you. What does that mean? It just simply means I wanted them to tell you what's happened in their life. They've been with us actually in this church for a long time, but you might not have heard their story. We've been talking over the last number of weeks about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is just simply this, that Jesus didn't tell us to build a great church. He didn't tell us to just make a lot of money. Jesus didn't tell us to do a whole lot of things and have programs, and he didn't tell us to feed the hungry, although he did. But the main thing that Jesus said was, he said, go out into the entire world and tell people the good news. Amen. The good news for somebody who's sick is you don't have to be sick anymore. You can be healed. The good news for someone who's poor is that you don't have to be poor, but you can actually have more than enough. You can live in abundance. The good news for somebody that's been in depression is that Jesus can break depression off of you and cause joy to come into your life. The good news for somebody that hasn't had any family in their life is that you can be a part of an amazing family of incredible people. And the good news needs to be shared in the entire world. And the good news affected this couple in an amazing way. And I hope that you'll open your hearts, that you'll open your ears, and that you'll allow them to minister their journey to you for just a few minutes, and that you'll get a taste of the goodness of God through their lives as you receive them. Would you please give a very, very warm welcome to Chad and Michelle Taniguchi. Awesome. Hey, would you just give them your story? Tell them what the Lord laid on your heart.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for allowing us, pastors, thank you for allowing us to share our testimonies. I'm just going to open it in a quick prayer and hand the mic over to my husband. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence today. I thank you, God, just for everyone here, God, for what you're doing in us and through us. Thank you, God, that the words that we speak, our testimony that we share will be that will bring strength, that it'll bring life, that'll bring grace, deliverances, that it'll bring miracles, that'll stir your people up. And I just thank you, Father, that you continue to have your way in us and through us. And thank you, God, for just continuing to love us through it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's the better half, better looking half of us. But we were asked to share our testimony this morning, and it was a little hard because God does amazing things in our life every single day. But we chose to talk about how we met Jesus Christ, because that's what started all of the rest of the testimonies. So we're going to share some very personal things. We're going to be very transparent here this morning. And so we're going to let you all behind the curtain a little bit. It's a little uncomfortable, but I think it'll be a hope. It's a blessing, you know, to somebody or at least a few people. So 16 years old, and I'm going to have to leave a lot of things out for the sake of time, but I'm going to try and condense things as quickly as possible. At 16 years old, we found out we were having a baby, our oldest daughter. Fast forward to about 18 years old, we left home. We left the island because we wanted to get away from certain people, certain things that we were part of. To try to have a new start. So we left, and we ended up moving into this house, and things between us started to get really bad in our relationship. I mean, very, very, very bad. And we moved into this house. When we moved into the house, we didn't know that there were things living in that house before we got there, things that are on the other team. Spiritual things that were on the other team were living in that house and before we got there. And things started going from bad to worse. When we moved into the home, there was holes in the walls, holes in the doors. It looked like whoever was there had a very violent life. And we lived there because it was what we could afford. We lived there because it was close to shopping and everything else. But we lived amongst these things, and I remember there are certain nights when she would get up in the middle of the night, and she would wake me up and tell me that, you know, there's something standing in the hallway, you know, or I feel something, you know, that's with us, you know, that doesn't feel right. you know, and so we were there and we're living, and I'm like, you know, it's no big deal, right? Until one of those things or a few of those things decided to inhabit her physical body. And that's when things got really, really bad. To put two and two together, we found out later that there was a couple that was living in that house, and the wife ended up leaving the husband and running off with another man. And I say that because things with us got really bad. I was not a good person, which didn't help. But one day, she turned to me and said, you know, I'm leaving you, and I'm taking our daughter. I'm moving, and I'm going to get back with my ex-boyfriend. So you see how we're connecting the dots here. The spiritual things that were living there, right, that decided to inhabit her body was now controlling her as a person. And and the date came when she told me that, you know, I bought my plane tickets and I'm leaving you, and I am moving away. And so everything that meant anything to me and everything to me was about to leave, and I was about to have nothing. You know, I woke up every day and worked hard for my family. That's basically what I did, and they meant everything to me. And for that to be gone, it crushed me. It felt like everything, my whole world, came crashing down upon me. And I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. I was not performing at work, probably on the verge of getting fired. So my world was turned upside down. And, you know, I remember looking her in the eyes, and I said, please don't leave, because I love you so much. You know, please don't go. And if you ever looked into somebody's eyes only to see that they're not there, like their soul is gone, and there's something that's preventing her from being her, it is not a good sight. You know, so the date was... she told me the date that she was leaving. She bought her plane ticket, was going to be gone forever. And I remember one night lying in my bed, looking at the ceiling, and I couldn't sleep again, and I was angry, and I was bitter. And up until that night, I'm going to be very transparent and said I lived a life. I hated God. I really did. I hated his people. I hated everything about him. And lying there, it only made me more angry, and because I was blaming him, you know, for all of this stuff. And I was lying there, and it got to the point where I was like, you know, I'm going to try and get some sleep. And so I ended up turning on to my side to try to get some sleep. It was about 4 a.m. in the morning. And then for some odd reason, I started weeping uncontrollably. I just couldn't stop weeping like a baby. And I remember... my eyes full of tears, my pillow completely soaking wet. And I remember for the first time I called out to God for the very first time. You know, and with all my anger and with all my hate, you know, I said, God, I said, if you are real, and I said, if you can do what everybody says you can do, and I says, if you are who everybody says you are, I said, I'll make you a deal. I said, if you change me as a man, and I said, if you save my family, I said, I will give you my life. You know, so at that moment, when I said that, it felt like he literally came down from heaven. He picked me up in his arms, and I heard him with my ears, an audible voice, tell me that everything's gonna be okay. Follow me. You know, and at that moment, I opened my eyes, and it was almost like, I kid you not, the experience with God was like I had an out-of-body experience, because when I opened my eyes, I saw myself on the ground, curled up in the fetal position, weeping, and I shook my head, and I looked at myself, and I said, things are going to change, that you will never be the same again. You know, and then from that point on, I remember that night very, very, very clearly. As the morning, actually about 4:15 in the morning. And you know what's really awesome? I kid you not, it was this exact same week in March of 2000 that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ.
Okay, so fast forward. You know, he gave his life to Jesus. And then, I don't know if it was it the next day or was it, I think it was the next day. He was watching a Christian, it was Art Sepulveda, Word of Life. He was talking about demons and demonology and things like that. And he was like, that's it, you know. And so he shared it with me and he was like, okay, yeah, that's it. It's the devil that, you know, is trying to tear us apart. And so it was just something in me that clicked. And I was like, okay, wow, you know, God just kind of opened my eyes. And so we were like, okay, God, where are you? We were like writing letters to God and leaving it at the church because that's what we knew, right? I mean, we didn't know about any Christian churches. My experience was Catholic, holiday Catholic, you know, so you just kind of go when it's a holiday. So we were hungry for God and, you know, we were in Kauai at that time, and, you know, God said, okay, you need to go back to Oahu. We didn't have anything really to go back to. We didn't have a place to live. He didn't have a job. Kaylee had all these medical issues, and we had no money. So, you know, we ended up getting our plane ticket, and we went back to Oahu. We got married, and God just started showing up, you know? I mean, he ended up getting a job. Of course, we did get married. Kaylee, we ended up at a revival, at a Christian Harfouche revival, and she got laid hands on and for prayer for healing, and it was just like instant. I used to tell her, okay, you can't laugh, you can't jump, you can't dance, or you can't basically be a kid because she couldn't breathe. You know, she was on steroids, she was on this breathing machine, and so she got healed, and all of a sudden, she was dancing. I mean, she was being normal, you know, like a normal kid. And so I was like, wow, you know. And we ended up, we met Pastor Mari, or I met Pastor Mari. It was at the revival. And she was like, oh, yeah, do you want to come to our women's, you know, it was a women's conference. And so I went there, and I think I was on the floor for, I don't know, every day. But, I mean, God just showed up, you know, and he delivered us, and yeah, it's amazing on what he did, you know, so I just knew that, you know, that was home, and at that time, we ended up going to New Hope because, you know, his sister, thank God, she was praying for us, but she invited us, but we needed more, you know, we were hungry for the presence of God, and we were like, wow, you know, because, I mean, you know, it was like night and day on what God did for us, so we ended up at the church, and then, do you want to Okay, I don't want to take all the time, but so we ended up at the church, and then after that, we were like, okay, you know, he was working, it wasn't enough, so, you know, Kaylee got healed, and I started working. God started opening up doors. He was working full-time for a construction company, and he started his business on the side, so full-time, and then on the weekends, he was doing business on the side. I was working 8 to 5, full-time, and then after I, you know, came home, took care of the kids, did whatever I needed to do for the household, then I would work on his books and everything else that he needed for his side business. He ended up getting laid off, and so God was like, okay, now's the time, you know, so he went full-time into his business, and things just kind of took off. I don't know how to explain it. We never really did advertising. People would just call, and God would just show up again. So, yeah, you know, and there's that scripture in the Bible says that, you know, whatever we touch, you know, it'll prosper because we believe in him, you know, and that whole time, you know, we would wake up and we're like, okay, God, we're here. You know, we would worship and pray. Chad used to tell me, oh, close the window, you know, above the bathroom. We had like a small little window because he was like, oh, the neighbors are going to think that the terrorists are attacking because I was in the closet, literally, like, worshiping and praying, you know. I mean, that's what I knew, right? And so I was like, okay, God, I mean, it worked from the time, you know, we got saved. And so we were just hungry. We ended up in Bible college. We started learning about who we are in Christ, you know, the authority that we have, great faith about the anointing, about deliverances, about, you know, like how the devil works, you know, you got to know your enemy. And so we started applying those things to our lives, you know, and so, and then our marriage, you know, praise God for Pastor Martin and Pastor Stewart. I mean, like a lot of counseling sessions on marriage, you know. And, you know, just doing what we know. I mean, you know, in the Bible it says that life and death is in the power of your tongue, right? So a lot of times we're like, okay, we learn real fast when you have no money. You know, we got to be in agreement here, you know. So a lot of times we would just hold hands and wait until, you know, things would come out nice. You know, we're like, okay, stay in agreement, you know. But we worked really hard at agreement, and we tried our best at raising our kids. And, you know, when God moves, everything is tied together. You know, prosperity is tied to your marriage. It's tied to, you know, your house. It's tied to your words, you know. It's tied to your mindset. You know, God says that he has given us the mind of Christ, you know. And so we got to think how he thinks. So we got to say what he says, you know. And so we just started applying things, you know, the word to our life. And, you know, God just started moving. I mean, honestly, what we do is we prepare for things to come, you know, and we believe God, we pray, we worship, you know, and we just do what we know, and God shows up, you know, and he brings people. I mean, it's kind of like when we hit, you know, this certain level, or we kind of feel like, okay, you know, things kind of tapered off, then God is like, okay, you're ready for the next thing, you know. And so when I was in worship today, you know, God was like, okay, yeah, the story of David, you know, and how God called him out. He was like the last chosen, right? He was the last chosen, but God knew where he was at, you know. So, you know, I just want to encourage you, you know, to don't despise small beginnings, because God knows where you're at. And also, you know, when David got anointed, he got anointed, but it took him, he went through a process before he became king, right? And so, you know, there's a process that we go through, you know. And a lot of times, you know, I do really believe that God, you know, he wants to bless us, but we got to be ready for it. You know, if we don't know how to manage what we have, you know, how can we expect God to catapult us to the next level, you know? So I just want to encourage, you know, you guys that God will show up. You know, just do what you know, and God can move. Amen?
Okay. Yeah, just thank you all for letting us share this morning. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Would you just give Chad and Michelle another big round of applause? Thank you guys for sharing that testimony. Some of you guys didn't know that about them. It's because you're not in their Connect group. But, you know, what they're not telling you is that I'm sure that if you were to ask them, they would advocate that you should serve Jesus. They're probably not telling you that they are people that have been faithful in returning their tithe to the Lord. What you don't know about them is how successful financially and everything that the Lord has made them to be. And it's because he's got an amazing purpose for their life to be able to touch more people. You know, if you don't have any resources, it's hard to give any resources to anyone else. If you don't have enough for yourself, it's very difficult to be able to have enough to give to other people. God wants to increase you so that you can be a blessing to other people. And I hope that you'll take the opportunity to ask Chad and Michelle to go into their story a little bit more. There was a lot that was left out just because of the sake of time. But I think that they would probably say that anybody that has the opportunity to meet Jesus should meet Jesus. He's pretty amazing, and he'll change your world for the better. And that's why we're talking about the Great Commission. We've got Sign Up Sunday going on, and so I've got like less than 15 minutes to preach this message to you. So I'm going to do my best. I think that gives me an average of just over 2 minutes per point that I have. So you're going to have to listen quick as I preach to you today. If you want notes and stuff, there are notes at the Welcome Center. You can always pick them up on your way out. But also you can download them right on our website under the messages section. And today I'm talking to you about the Great Commission, but I'm talking to you about fishing for men, fishing for women, whatever. The point is that Jesus said, if you follow me, I will turn you into fishers of men, or fishing for people. I want to talk to you about the basics. Now, I know that it doesn't seem like it's a real complicated thing, but there's actually some strategy involved with fishing. I hate to admit it, but fishing actually takes some skill and some strategy. I tend to think of fishing as something that someone with no talent can do. But you know, if you're going to catch something, you actually have to know a few things about fishing. I'm going to give you some things today that you can take into your world and help you to bring people from the world, like we're using it as an analogy of the ocean, fish just swimming around out there, men and women just living out there in the world, but they need to come into the house of God. How do they do that? The only way to do that is by the supernatural power of God and God using you to be able to help to catch them, to bring them into the house of God. I want to give you a few things real quick. How to fish. We're talking about how to fish. So the first thing that I want to share with you is, number one, you got to know that if you are following Jesus, he has made you to be a fisherman or a fisherwoman, a fisher person. God has called you to be a fisherman. And you know what fishermen do? They fish. Fishermen that don't fish aren't fishermen. There's someone standing there holding a pole. Fishermen fish. And so if we are following Christ, you've heard me say it over the last number of weeks, that if we're following Christ, he will absolutely motivate us to be able to become fishers of men. He'll put that desire in our heart if we will allow him to do so. Number two, see, I'm getting through these points really quick. Number two, you have to know that you want to fish. You know what? So many people are just like, no, I'm just going to go to church for me. I'm just going to go there so that I can get mine. What's in it for me? I want God to bless me. I want God to fill me. I want God to meet my needs. Yeah, but you know what? What about the people around you? What about those in your family? What about people that don't have healing and people that don't have more than enough? What about the people around us that are struggling in depression and anxiety and mental illness and all these ills that are going on around us? What about those people? They need Jesus too. But you got to be willing, and you know, you've got to know that you actually want to fish. If you don't want to fish, like naturally speaking, I don't want to fish. Therefore, I don't fish. I don't take my kids fishing. They're like, Dad, can we go fishing? I'm like, no, let me fly your grandpa over here so that he can take you fishing because he likes to fish. I don't like to fish. But you've got to know that you want to fish. Check this out. Proverbs 11, verse 30, and I hope that this scripture will help you to develop a desire to fish. Check it out. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Did you know that if you're righteous, there's fruit on your life? That there's something that can feed the people around you. Fruit is delicious, and it's something that people around you will want. If your life is full of righteousness, you've got fruit on that tree. But check it out, and he who wins souls is wise. Do you know that wisdom is an incredible thing? Yeah. Knowledge is good, but wisdom is better. It's important to have wisdom to know how to apply the knowledge that you've got. Check it out in this other version of the Bible. In the New American Standard version of the Bible, it says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. In other words, winning souls doesn't make you wise. Being wise makes you win souls. If you are a smart person, and I know that you're smart, I can just tell by looking at you, because you're not looking at me like a cow staring at a brand new gate. You're smart. You're wise. And because of that, there's a passion in your heart to have other people know about Jesus. You've got to understand that if you begin to reach out and you begin to have God move in other people's lives through your life, wisdom will not only come to you, but also you'll be operating already in the wisdom of God. If our true desire is to be a fisher of men, then we will fish for men. You know, there's this guy, his name is Brian Clemmer, and he's passed on now, but he has a company called Clemmer and Associates, and one of the things that they talk about is why we don't do the things that we want to do. They have a book out that's entitled something along the lines of, if being rich, skinny, and healthy were, or if how-tos were enough, we would all be skinny, rich, and happy. If how-tos were enough, we would all be skinny, rich, and happy. Something along those lines. But you know what? How-tos are not enough, are they? Because we all know how to be skinny, don't eat so much, and exercise. We all know how to be wealthy, work hard, spend less than you earn. Right? We know how to be happy, don't do stupid things. We know how to do that stuff, but you know what? We do stupid things. So therefore, many times we're not happy. We eat more than we can exercise and burn off, because I know that it takes walking the length of a football field to burn off one plain M&M. And who eats one plain M&M? There's nobody that eats one plain M&M. That's just an appetizer. But we all know that, but yet we don't live that way. Why? Because we don't really want to. That's the answer, and that's the whole premise of the book, is that if how-tos were enough, see, it's not about how-tos because we know how, but it's we got to want to. And how do we develop a want-to in our heart? Well, I think that one of the best things that we can do is we can start talking to God and ask him to give us a want-to. God, I don't want to fish. I don't even want to tell anybody that I go to church, but God, help me to want to. I think God will honor that prayer. Let me give you point number three. I'm doing pretty good on time, I think. Number three, you got to go where the fish are. If you want to be a fisherman that actually catches anything, you got to go where the fish are. If there aren't any fish there, no matter how great you are at fishing, if there's no fish there, you're going to catch nothing, buddy. You got to go where the fish are. That means that you can't just always hang out with everybody that's already in the boat. You can't always hang out with Christians because they don't need to be caught. You got to find fish that need to be caught. That means that you need to have associations that are outside of the body of Christ. You got to go out into the ocean and begin to fish for fish. Number four, you've got to go where the fish are hungry. You can't just go out there and start feeding all the fish and start chumming the water and nobody's hungry and then try to fish. That's not how you fish. You got to go where the fish are hungry. It's important to do that. When you fish where the fish are hungry, the fish will attack the bait. Look, if the fish aren't hungry, they're not going to bite. Let me ask you a question. Have you been trying to reach and catch the same fish, the same not hungry fish, for years? The same person. Oh, I witnessed, Pastor Jake. I totally do. Yeah, but it's been the same person for 15 years, and they're not hungry. They don't even want to hear what you have to say anymore. They're like, I'm full. That's enough. I don't want to hear anything else. Please stop talking to me. Why are you still trying to catch that fish? If you're a fisherman, you're going to go where the fish are hungry. Are you trying to catch the same non-hungry fish for years? Maybe it's time to move along to trying to catch other hungry fish until your prize fish gets hungry. Yep. You know what I mean? It's like if you're not fishing for the trophy, you're fishing because you need to eat. You don't care how big that fish is. I mean, if it's like that and you hungry, you're going to eat it. You know how I know that? I watch Naked and Afraid. They will eat the smallest little fish. They were trying to catch sand crabs the other night. Sand crabs, you know, the ghost crabs? They're trying to catch those things. Have you ever seen them? They're like this big. And they're like chasing, running around the entire beach. And I'm thinking in my scientific, biological mind, I'm thinking, do you know that you are expending more calories to catch that crab than you're going to get by eating that crab? Of course, they're not thinking that. They're just thinking, oh, I want some crab right now. But you see, don't worry about trying to catch the crab that you want to catch, the Alaskan king crab with the legs that are like that big around and, you know, a pound each. Don't worry about catching those. I know you're hungry now. I know Tiara's like salivating. She's licking her lips back there because she's thinking about king crab legs. But you know what? Don't even worry about trying to catch that prize fish. Just catch the ones that are hungry. Can you say amen to that? You got to use the right bait for the fish. Remember last week I told you, I thought that Love's white bread was the end-all be-all of every kind of fishing. Everybody eats Love's white bread. No, it turns out only tilapia eat loves white bread. And you don't want to eat tilapia, I guarantee you that, right? You got to use the right bait for the fish. Check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. It says this in the New King James Version of the Bible. Paul says, "And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under the law towards Christ." Remember, I said, just because you're around people that are lawless doesn't mean that you get to be lawless. You don't get to smoke weed with the weed smokers just so that you can try to reach the tokers. That's not how it goes. You got to be under the law to Christ in order so that you can reach those that are even without the law, that I might win those who are without the law. Verse 22, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by any means save some." Look, you got to break it down a little bit. What is this particular person, this particular fish, in the mood for? What are they needing in their life? Check it out. Do they need connections and relationships? Guess what? The body of Christ is an amazing place to have connections and relationships. Maybe that's what they're looking for. Then throw the bait out there. You know what? I got some amazing friends that I never had until I came to this crazy church. Number two, what if they need peace? Do you know that the Bible says that God says, "This peace I will give you that the world cannot take away"? Peace that is not dependent on the circumstance and the situation. Peace that will fill you in the midst of a storm. Wow, that's amazing. You need peace in your life? I know where you can get peace. Come and follow me. Check this out. Maybe you need joy. Maybe they just need joy. Maybe they're just a Debbie Downer, a wet blanket, you know, wet wood on the fire, whatever your analogy might be. Maybe they are just the party pooper. Maybe they need some joy in their life. Do you know that if somebody doesn't have joy, they're weak? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You want to help somebody get joy because you can help them to get strong. It's not just about being yoked. It's about being full of joy. The Bible says about Jesus that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above all his brethren. Jesus was a pretty happy guy. Just so you know, he wasn't always fasting and eating one grain of rice and one drip of water. I know that's another religious leader. But he wasn't doing that and just being hungry with bad halitosis all the time. Jesus was a happy dude, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. How many of you know healing brings joy? If you've ever been broken, sore, hurt, whatever, when you get healed, oh man, you feel a lot better, don't you? If somebody needs joy, point them to Jesus. Maybe they need a way to change for the better, because if how-tos were enough, we would all be skinny, rich, and healthy, and happy. All of us. But how-tos are not enough. You need a mechanism by which to do that. You need a motivation by which to do that. And the only way to have that happen is for God to change our heart. By the way, surgery can't change your heart. They can give you a different heart, but they can't change your heart. Only Jesus can change your heart. How's this one? Financial breakthrough. Do you know that God wants you to be financially prosperous? The Bible says that God paves the road of heaven with gold. Look, when you got enough money that you can pave your driveway with gold, you're doing all right. It's pretty awesome. If you need financial breakthrough, do you know that all of the resources that you need to be able to be prosperous are found in the Word of God? All of the principles of wealth and of stewardship, all of that is found in the pages of the Bible. I'm telling you. Physical or emotional healing. Do you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Check this out. God says about himself, he says, "I am the great I am." When he introduced himself, he said, "I am." You know what that means? He's everything that you need. Whatever you need, whatever anybody needs, God is. He is that. And so if you ever find somebody that has a need that you don't know how to deal with, you just tell them God can meet that need. You know why? It's true. God can meet the need. Whatever the need is, God can meet it. Not only that, but he can exceed it. He is everything that anyone ever really needs. I found this amazing quote by this guy named John Wesley. You might know who he is. He says this, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Do that. Be that. Do you think that people might like you a little bit if you did that? Every day in the world around you? People don't like people that take all the time, but they sure do love people that give a lot. You know how I know that? Christmas. Right? You invite the people that give the best gifts, not the weird gifts, not the weird anti-gifts. You invite the ones that give the good gifts, right? We like people who give. I'm almost done. Here's the final point that I want to give you today. It's not just what you can do on your own. Believe God for a miracle catch like the disciples had. I don't have time to go into it, but the Bible tells us that when Jesus talked to them, he said, cast your net on the other side. They hadn't caught anything all night. But yet when they did what God told them to do, there was a miraculous catch and their nets were so full that the nets were starting to break. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God will do a miracle catch for the disciples, he'll do that for us today. You know, there is always a supernatural component, always a supernatural aspect to someone coming to know Jesus and desiring a life to following him. I mentioned that today, that no one can come to Jesus without Jesus. There is a supernatural aspect to somebody even desiring, like Chad, that night on his pillow, whatever. I mean, nobody talked to them. Only God was moving on his heart. And now all of a sudden he cries out to God, God, if you're real. God's like, yeah, I put that thought in your heart. Like, yeah, I'm real. You see, nobody comes to God without knowing that or without God moving first. Here it is in the Bible, John 6:44, and I'm ending with this. No one is able, listen to that, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me, and then I will raise him from the dead at the last day. Jesus said, no one can come to me except the Father is doing a miraculous work in that person's heart already, attracting them, drawing them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to believe for a miraculous event whenever it is that you're going out fishing. Let me give you just one thing, and we're going to turn you loose to sign up for your Connect groups. Just one thing. I want to ask you to do this week. Believe for God to spotlight those that are ready and those that he is drawing already. Then lead them to Jesus and fellowship in church. In other words, as you go throughout your day, would you be aware? Would you have your eyes open and just say this, God, the ones that are ready, the ones that are hungry, the ones that you're already drawing, the ones that you're already moving on their hearts, that they're right there, let me see them. I mean, like, highlight them, spotlight them. I mean, just like, boom, make them glow, make them stand out so that I can see them, so that I can go to them and I can help them by being all things to all men so that by any means I can save some. Would you please go out into the world around you and cast that line out this week and be the bait, be something that somebody needs and draw them and lead them to Jesus. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me today? Father, I thank you for this very short word today. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause the seeds of this word to fall on good soil and that it would manifest in the lives of people, that we would just begin to be those that by any means, by at all times, that anywhere, at any opportunity, that we would be those that would share the good news that Jesus will meet every need that anyone has. Lord, I thank you that you're drawing people around us and help us to see them this week. Open our eyes to see those that you're moving on their lives and in their hearts. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you